Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
I am so proud of my oldest son, Matthew, and I just want to talk about him. I love talking about my kids, and I love on Free for All Friday that I get to talk about whatever I want to talk about. So welcome to the Council of Trent podcast. I'm your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker, Trent Horn. Mondays through Thursdays, we talk apologetics, theology, maybe we'll rebut anti-Catholic content you can find on YouTube. But on Fridays, it's Free for All Friday. We talk about whatever I want to talk about. It could be random, eclectic topics. But today, I want to talk about something near to my heart, near to three hearts, if you will, because I took my son Matthew on the Three Hearts Pilgrimage. So this is a pilgrimage that takes place in the fall in Oklahoma. It's fairly new. I don't know everything about the pilgrimage. I'll share what I do know about it and the experience that we had, because it was just a beautiful experience, especially for a father and son to be able to share. And I definitely recommend anyone who lives near the vicinity, you know, if you're living in the Midwest, to check it out. I'm sure they'll do it again next October. But this pilgrimage began, I think, with the local boys' school, the St. John Bosco School. These boys who walked 35 miles, this is in northeast Oklahoma, maybe about an hour outside of Tulsa, and they walked this pilgrimage 35 miles over the course of 2 days. Yeah, it would be, well, yeah, it's over the course of two days. I'll get to the schedule here in a sec. And they ended at the Clear Creek Abbey and Monastery to celebrate Mass. And so in the past 2 years, they've invited families and others to be able to take part in this. And of course, pilgrimages have a very, very long history in the Catholic faith. Going back to the patristic age, people who set out on foot to the Holy Land. And, you know, this is a way of undergoing physical trials to bring you closer to God, to be able to spend time in prayer. And so I wanted to check this out. It's called the Three Hearts Pilgrimage because it's related to the heart, you know, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, Immaculate Heart of Mary, the heart of Joseph, Mary's most chaste spouse. And so it's really offered up for those three hearts, if you will. And so let me give you the details of the pilgrimage, and I'll talk just a little bit about how it went taking Matthew. Well, my son Matthew is 6 years old, and as I said, he did a really good job. So it starts on a Thursday, and we actually drove up from the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So our personal schedules, we weren't able to leave until later in the afternoon. So we didn't get there until late Thursday night. Many of the other pilgrims got there early Thursday afternoon and camped out together. So it is an overnight pilgrimage, and part of it is involved camping. There's two nights of camping. We were only able to do one night of the camping. So they got there. We got there really late at night, so we stayed at a hotel. And then we woke up early the next morning, about 5 a.m., went to the site where the other pilgrims were. And we go, and you drop off your gear. So, and I'm not a camping person. I'm not good at camping. I'm not really an outdoorsy person. So I also thought this would be helpful for me to grow and stretch in other areas, along with the traditional benefits of a pilgrimage, growing closer to God, spending time in prayer, maybe learning more of these outdoorsy skills, if you will. So I went out, I got a tent, I got supplies, we got there, we dropped off our supplies, and they had the pilgrimage very, very well organized. So if you check it out online, the Three Hearts Pilgrimage, and you want to do it again next year, they don't actually publish the map or the specific route of the pilgrimage until you've registered, because they don't want people just showing up not according to the plan. You have to register with the organization sponsoring it. That way they know how many people are going to be present so that they can plan accordingly, because they bring along porta potties for people to be able to relieve themselves. They had flatbed trailers with water bottles on them when we were at our rest stops, because it was a grueling pace. As I said, it starts Friday morning. So they camp out Thursday night. It starts Friday morning, and it ends Saturday afternoon at the Clear Creek Abbey Monastery. And all in total, it is 35 miles. We didn't actually do the entire 35 miles, but we did 22 miles of it. And so Matthew was just a little champ. He was there with his cousins. And they were just praying and marching along. And they were also having fun and goofing around with each other. But we were singing. We were praying. So let me get back to, I guess, to itinerary. We go in. We check in. They have it very well organized. Drop off our gear. And they had moving trucks to take people's camping supplies to the site one, the place where we camped Friday night. So you didn't have to, like, haul your tent with you. Because that site was, it was 25 miles away. And so we, yeah, it was about 25 miles. But that day we walked 11 miles to a field where we had lunch and celebrated Mass. And there you had an opportunity that if you had, especially if you didn't think you could make the whole 25 miles in a day, or especially if you had little kids, there were buses available to take you the next 15 miles to site one to be able to camp out Friday night. So we did that. Some of Matt's cousins did that. Matt's older cousins actually went with their dad, and they walked the whole thing. They did 25 miles in one day. And so after we had set up everything at site one, we got there by bus around, like, you know, 2 o'clock. And then we set up our tent, set up our site. And then later that day, around 6 or 7 o'clock, they come trudging in, finishing everything out. And we were cheering them on as they came in and seeing how exhausted they were. But that's the purpose. And of course, it's not just like a marathon. It's not just walking distance. It's having this physical exertion and this exhaustion. It really gives you that moment to grow close with God, that you're praying. We're singing Salve Regina. They had little hymn books for us. And then just praying the rosary, praying the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, and just focusing on this walk. And so we're going through this walk in northeastern Oklahoma, and it was actually pretty nice. The weather was decent. There were a lot of trees, actually, to help to shade the path. So it wasn't too bad. So the first day, we did the 11 miles. Then we camped. They set up a big bonfire. We actually camped on somebody's farm. So where we camped, there were acres and acres of just kind of open field on a person's farm. We were able to set up a really large bonfire, and I sat next to Matt, and a priest came, and he gave a talk, and we prayed, and we sang, and then we just went to bed because we were absolutely exhausted. And actually, they hosted a dinner for us that Friday night. You bring your own food, so we had tent and camping supplies, but I also, you know, had to experiment with just bringing non-perishable food for us to eat and, you know, make for our breakfasts and our lunch. You know what was the big hit, actually, of the stuff that I brought? Peanut butter and Nutella sandwiches. Those really saved us. Also had some beef jerky, had some apples, you know, just basic non-perishable food items. But really, those peanut butter and Nutella sandwiches, and I made them on Hawaiian sweet bread rolls. So not just like regular bread, Hawaiian sweet bread rolls that are a bit more calorie rich. And eating those actually they were a big help. So we slept that night. I got a Coleman Instant Camp tent set up for 4 people. That was an awesome investment, by the way, because I don't camp, and it was just me and Matthew, and so I set up the tent by myself. Matt helped, but I was doing a lot of the setup. And this Coleman Instant tent, it was amazing. I was able to set up the tent in, they advertise you can do it in 60 seconds, and I did it in about 90 seconds. I got the tent set up because it has the poles built into the tent, and it's like an accordion. You just pull it apart and the tent is open. You stake it down, and everything worked out really well. And so then we slept that night, woke up early the next morning, unpacked all of our stuff, put the tent back together, which was also actually easy to collapse it, put it back into the sack, and then put it away. And then we continued our walk, and it was another 11 miles that day. That walk was a lot harder. I mean, I was seeing people who were getting blisters, who were having some foot injuries, but they were really good. They had medics. They had people with carts, you know, like gas-powered go-karts and other things going by to pick people up if they had to be taken the whole way, or if they needed treatment, or if they were dehydrated. They had moleskin and other stuff to help people with blisters. I was really scared about getting a blister, actually, or for Matthew to get one. And I was actually using shoes that were really, really old. I finally bought new shoes, but I was using older shoes. I'm like, I hope I don't get a blister. So what I did was we were walking at a pace of 3 miles an hour. So they had someone keeping the pace at the front. We were walking at 3 miles an hour. So we took breaks about every hour and a half or 2 hours. And every time we had a break, I mean, a lot of our gear had been sent ahead, but I carried a pack with me that had other extra supplies in them, especially socks. So when we would stop, I would change out our socks. That way we had fresh, dry socks to walk in. And I think that really helped. And I also had snacks and other things in there and little first aid items. But it worked out really well. But the second day, the 11 miles to finish up going to the Clear Creek Abbey, that was probably the hardest day. Like the last 3 or 4 miles, it felt like it was just 3 miles uphill dirt road to get to the Abbey. And I was like, part of me was thinking, we're not going to make it. I was like, no, Lord, help me. And you're just praying. And Matt was just, he was a little trooper. He trudged along and he just had a great time. I think he was really encouraged with his cousins to be able to go and do that. Then we got to the monastery gates at around noon or so. And we were just so happy to be at the top of that hill. Like, we made it. We made it. Then they opened the gates and we processed in silence, actually, to the monastery. The last mile, we walked through the monastery grounds, processed in silence. And we got there. Some people actually met us. Other people who didn't want to do the entire journey just met us at the monastery to congratulate us. We went to Mass. It was extraordinary form, high Mass. And Cardinal Burke was supposed to be there, but I think because of health issues, he wasn't able to attend, but he sent a letter. We had Mass. They had a barbecue dinner for everybody. And then we got back on the buses to go back to the previous site. I was really grateful, actually, that I was on the one of the buses that got there first. I hopped off because we hardly had any daylight to go and get our gear. So I wrote down these notes about what I was going to do different next time, or things that I learned along the way, like bring headlamp for final gear pickup, might not have daylight. And I just wrote these things on my phone when I would have little things that I would learn, like don't bring as many apples. Apples are not the big hit. Just thinking like what food helps. And so I looked around and saw what other food people had was a good idea. Like tuna in the particular packets is a good protein that doesn't have to be stored at cold temperatures. So that can work. There's certain hard cheeses. If you store them cold and you take them out for a day or two, they're going to be fine. Single serve condiment packets. I actually grabbed a few from the hotel. I grabbed some ketchup packets. And that really helped with some of the food provided in our food. So I think next year, like, I'll have little single-serve condiment packets because those will stay. And it's just a nice little thing to zest things up. So you have a little Chick-fil-A sauce packet. That can change just your average ration into a pleasant and delightful meal. And so we got to our car, and then we drove, and we went back to the hotel that we had stayed at the night before. And we just passed out. We sacked out. We got congratulatory dinner for us at the McDonald's right by the hotel. And that was just really fun. I mean, I loved the pilgrimage aspect of walking with Matt and talking with him about the Bible and praying and spending time with his cousins and my brother and sister-in-law. I really wish Laura and the other two kiddos had come with me, but it's hard. It is a hard trek. I don't know if I would. And there were people who had double strollers that pushed 3-year-olds and 1-year-olds through all 35 miles. And my hat goes off to them. I didn't know if we were up for that this year, maybe in a future year. And so it was just a really beautiful experience to be able to share, especially with my son. And then it was also fun at the end, just dad son time, being on a trip, watching whatever we want to watch in the hotel room. And it's just the two of us and just bonding together. And then we drove home and we listened to stories on the way home. He's really big into the Little House series. He also likes he likes a lot of historical fiction or also accounts of kind of living on the range. And so that's been really enjoyable for him. And then we got home, and I've even noticed changes in his behavior after he went on that pilgrimage, like more resolve, more of a desire to want to do difficult things, to want to make sacrifices for other people. I think what he said once, like, Dad, you carrying me when I had a hard time, was a sacrifice to really help? I said, yeah, Matt, it's good to make sacrifices to help other people. And I think that really underscored an important message for him that you learn. And I think this will be a core memory, if you ever saw that Disney film Inside Out, one that'll stick with him. I still remember things when I was 5 or 6. I think this is something that's going to stay with him as well. So, yeah, if you want to take part in something like this, and then, especially this pilgrimage, check out, you can Google it online, the Three Hearts Pilgrimage. Definitely something worth checking out. But you can even do your own, just a few miles. Just set it up, especially with your kids, to get them away from technology, get them away from these kinds of things and just grow closer together as a family, closer to God, and walk that fine line, pushing your physical limit without causing detriment or harm, obviously. But it was just a great experience. So that's all. I wanted to talk today about the pilgrimage. I had so much fun with Matt. I can't wait for next year. So maybe I'll see you guys there. Maybe you'll hear this and I'll see you there next year. And you said, I heard you talk about the pilgrimage on the podcast. We signed up. And I would love to see you and other people who would like to take part in that. So I'm pretty sure they're doing one next year. If there's more details to get closer next year, like next August or September, I will certainly tell people about it on the podcast because I thought it was a great experience. So, hey, thank you guys so much. And I hope you all have a very blessed weekend.
If you liked today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.